Obviously, there's been a lot of headlines about you guys raising $100 million. What do you plan on doing with that?
We're either hanging this thing up in 4 years or we're doubling back down.
How many videos do you need to put out and how much viewership is enough?
It's a great question. Guys, I need at least one editor to help me, please, or else we have to call it quits.
That's no one's fault but our own.
We couldn't put out a video that got less than 30 million views.
This is a real problem on YouTube.
You raise $100 million or above, that's suggestive of the fact that this could become a billion-dollar company.
Yep, that's the goal.
Today on the Colin and Spear Show, we're joined by the guys from Dude Perfect. We sat down with them at their new Dallas headquarters shortly after they made a huge announcement that they raised over $100 million, as well as hired a new CEO, Andrew Yaffe, from the NBA.
Now, there aren't many creators that we speak to who have raised $100 million. It can be hard to even fathom what you would do with all that money. And that's a lot of what our conversation is about today with Dude Perfect.
For as long as we've been making YouTube videos, which is 13 years, Dude Perfect has been around and has been a consistent force. I went to their view stats page just to look at like subscriber growth and views. And if you look at it across 16 billion views that they've done and 60 million subscribers that they've gained, it is one of the most consistent graphs out of any creator. Year over year, they're one of the top brands on YouTube.
So we first met the guys from Dude Perfect in 2015 because we were helping them with a production. The video was called Lacrosse Trick Shots. And from the moment that we arrived in Dallas, the thing that Samir and I both realized was that these guys are heavily involved in every single little detail of the brand. They were holding cameras, they were directing, and that thread has stayed true all the way until today, even though the brand has gotten so much bigger.
But with a new CEO and over $100 million in the bank, what we learned in this conversation is that Dude Perfect is about to change.
We start the conversation by talking to the guys about some of the disagreements they had when it came to raising money. We also talk to them about how they almost walked away from Dude Perfect forever. And then we get into how they plan to use this money to turn Dude Perfect into a billion-dollar brand.
So we recorded this episode in their new HQ, and we spent the day hanging out there. And this place is massive. I mean, I don't want to spoil it because they're going to do a big tour. We have a tour that's going to come out with them. But what I will say is that I tried my best to kick a field goal in this space.
Yeah, and we talk about it a little bit in the episode, but you will have to wait.
You'll have to wait for that.
To see what happens when Samir tries to make a relatively easy field goal, is all I will say.
To be this consistent on YouTube over this many years, you really have to focus on titles and thumbnails. And Dude Perfect, as well as us and a ton of other top creators, are using a software from the sponsor of this episode, Spotter Studio, to help us do just that.
Spotter Studio connects directly to your YouTube channel, and it helps you come up with ideas, titles, and thumbnails based on the top performing videos on your channel, as well as some of the top performing videos across all of YouTube.
So when you open Spotter Studio, you can start by typing an idea you have, or you can use this button, which is one of my favorite buttons in the software, that just says surprise me.
Okay, I just hit surprise me, and one of the ideas that it came up with that I really liked is, can AI predict YouTube trends?
Ooh,
kind of interesting.
Once you find a title that you like, you can start a project and start getting mockups for thumbnails. Now, we've personally seen some really crazy results from using Spotter Studio. We got this really unique thumbnail mockup for our video about the future of YouTube. And then Colin took this idea and designed it, and it resulted in one of our highest click-through rates on YouTube all year. And we're not the only ones seeing these results. You'll hear in this episode that Dude Perfect fully concepted their thumbnail for dropping 1,000 basketballs out of an airplane using Spotter Studio. And we're starting to see you guys tweet us when you're getting 1 out of 10s using Spotter Studio. Now, the Spotter team is constantly launching new updates to the software based on how everyone is using it. This week, they launched Power Keywords, which gives you insight into the top keywords that your audience is reacting to on your channel and across YouTube, so you can take those keywords and put them in your titles. If you're a YouTuber, you should 100% give this a try, and you can do that for 60 days totally free just by clicking the link in our description or scanning this QR code on the screen right now.
All right, we hope you enjoy this conversation with the guys from Dude Perfect. Once we wrap up, Samir and I are going to give some of our thoughts and reactions to what they said. Now for our conversation with the guys from Dude Perfect.
Dude Perfect, welcome to the show.
Colin and Samir, thanks for having us. It felt like the appropriate response.
It did
response.
Feel like the right, the only way to respond to that.
No guest has ever done that, and I appreciate
first time for everything.
The way you delivered that.
Yeah. Obviously, there's been a lot of headlines about you guys raising $100 million.
Yeah.
No official number. but, and it doesn't look like any of you guys are going to give me that number, but.
He might.
I'll tell you with my eyes.
Got
wow.
it.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
More than I thought. So. But you guys have raised, I mean, that's a lot of money for a YouTube channel to raise, right?
Yeah.
What signals did you guys get, or why was right now the right time to go out and do that capital raise, and what do you plan on doing with that?
15 years in, we've had a lot of dreams, and we just feel like in order to actually make any of them happen, we realized that we need to make the team bigger. And honestly, that was probably the start of us looking into fundraising. And we feel like we've capped out what the five of us can manage, right? Like we feel like we've been the bottleneck for a lot of the challenges we've had in terms of trying to do new things. And so as we started looking into raising money, which was something we never considered. I mean, we never looked into that for the longest time and never really thought that was a route that we would go. But the partners that we ended up finding in Highmount were way different than anybody else that we spoke with during that whole process. And I mean, we looked at different partners for the better part of a year.
Yeah, well, when we set out too, we only set out to raise a small amount. And it was, we were looking to sell, 10% of the business or less even,
yeah,
just to fund a few specific projects that we wanted to. And we had an offer very quickly from a standard private equity firm that was just very transactional. It was kind of like what we expected to get a bunch of.
Yeah.
And then the next offer we had was 100% full buyout of the entire company.
Oh, wow.
Which we were not expecting whatsoever. Wow. So now we've just been offered a 10% deal and, hey, we want to buy 100% of Dude Perfect. And in 4 years, you guys are done working. And so we were like, oh my, like that hadn't even really crossed our minds. So then we were weighing that and took us a long time, even from that second offer to the point where we got recently when we got the deal closed. But obviously ended up in the middle of those two and could not feel better about our partners and where we're at in that process right now. And we're really excited to start actually feel like we're making progress on some of those endeavors that we've talked about for what feels like 2 years now.
And it was telling because you get a full buyout offer without expecting that. And honestly, there were a lot of emotions. I mean, we talked about it for months. Like it was a long process because obviously, it's not what we set out for, but there were some appealing pieces of it. Like y'all know as well as anybody, I mean, we're 15 years in, right? Like to be able to put an end in sight and set a marker down, there were some pieces of that that were interesting to us. But the longer we talked about it, the more we prayed about it, as we talked with our wives and people that we really trust and respect, we could just never have a piece about being done in 4 years. And we didn't, in the end, feel like that group was one that we were comfortable trusting with like the future of the Dude Perfect brand.
Interesting.
And I think if
no deciding that group, by the way,
I think if deciding to go full time was like the first like major pivot point for us, that felt like the next one to me. It was like, well, we're either hanging this thing up in 4 years or we're doubling back down. And we just felt strongly and talked about it enough to get to the point where we felt like, no, there's way more in this. We felt like God wasn't done with Dude Perfect yet. And obviously incredibly grateful with the partners we landed with and kind of the future ahead.
Did you guys all agree on that or was there like disagreements throughout
that
process?
In the end we did, but yeah, when they, there was a lot of disagreements through that whole process of, not like, you guys are idiots, what are we doing? This is what we should do, but more so just arguing both sides and like, man, this is a huge payday. Like.
Yeah.
There's an end date in sight. Like you can go do whatever you want from that point. And then, then back on the other side, and it's like, well, yeah, but we have no say in what happens to what we built for the last 19 years at that point. And so I think it was very telling when we first met with HLI, and then we all kind of left that meeting and we all felt like, man, this is the group that we've like been waiting for. Like these are the guys that we've been looking for.
Yeah.
We felt good about the deal. Everybody was comfortable. And once we all kind of agreed on that, which is not a small feat to get all five of us to agree on anything, especially of that magnitude, it was very telling to us that this was the right direction.
Wow. Yeah, there's a moment in the Dude Perfect 30 for 30 where Garrett, you look at the camera and they ask you what the valuation of the company is. And you say at that time, it's $400 million.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, obviously that type of payout would be more huge. Than life-changing.
Yeah.
Right? Like more than life-changing. But even the raise you guys did, that's kind of suggestive of the fact that, like, if you raise $100 million or above, that's suggestive of the fact that this could become a billion-dollar company.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
That's the goal.
And that's how you guys feel right now.
Like, the truth is that's what we were most encouraged about as we went through the process. Like, honestly, it wasn't even our idea in the first place to raise money. We had some different people recommending it to us. So y'all should just go put it out in the market, see what's out there. And I think what was most encouraging was how many companies came back with that mentality. People we respected really high up in their industry, looking at the brand, the trust, and feeling like, I know y'all have been around this for a long time, but we really think it could be a billion-dollar business. And the money, that sure, that'd be great. But for us, it was more of like a kind of a pat on the back of like, you guys have really built something that's mattered to people. And yeah, that was really encouraging to us.
Yeah, I think the money part's cool. The thing that you kind of just touched on it, but I felt like what we kept hearing from people is like, okay, yes, y'all can take your payday and walk away. But like, these people just looking us in the eye and basically saying, please don't do that, because this company has become something for our family, like as a brand that we hope stays, whether it's y'all are the only talent that ever is on this or whether it's just the ethos of Dude Perfect. They very much were like conveying to us, this means something. And I hope this could be a generational company that like lasts a long time. And that's ultimately where we landed. And we have partners that are in family businesses that have lasted a very long time. And like, they told us the same thing is, hey, at the end of the day, I know it's hard to picture it right now. 15 years is a long time, but it's not that long in the big scheme of things. Just imagine two worlds. One world, this thing hangs up and fizzles out over the next 5-10 years because you guys gave it to another company and it just dropped off. Or you make a slightly harder decision now, which is to not take quite as big of a payday, and you continue to steward it, you build the team, you chase these huge dreams that y'all have, and eventually your kids have the opportunity to potentially run Dude Perfect. And it's like, that's hard to ignore how cool that would be, because we do feel like we've said it 1,000 times. Like, we're so blessed that we get to do this cool job with our friends and feel very much like God's given us this cool platform. And it's kind of, I mean, DP 2.0 is everything we're talking about. DP 3.0, 4.0, I mean, that's like crazy to think that our kids would have a chance to run it, but that's super cool. And we feel like the world needs that, those types of companies that are willing to kind of be in it for the long haul.
So if a lot of people are willing to invest, a lot of people believe in you, and that's validating. Also means there's a lot of competition in terms of who you choose. Bring me into the room with Highmount. What was it about that group that you guys eventually all came together and were like, yeah, those are the people?
I'd love for the other guys to answer too. I think for me, the two main things were an alignment on values. Those guys understood why we've made the content the way we've made it for these 15 years. And we're totally in lockstep on where they would want that to go, because we feel strongly that the trust we've built with families is like the most important thing. And so totally aligned there. And the second one is just the long-term approach on like the return of money. Like Ty said, we got approached by all the normal groups that want to build it and flip it in 3 to 5 years. And maybe that would be possible, but that's not what we were hoping to do. You know, we know that it's going to take time to build this into something that means something to families 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now. And this group was completely aligned on that. And that was a big deal to us.
For me, I would say in that meeting, after we had started talking to them for a little bit and we kind of gotten to know each other, I don't remember who it was from their team, but we basically landed at that they offered, hey, we will buy as little or as much of the company as you guys want, but we want to hear from you guys that you guys are in it for the long haul. And so for me, I was like, that's pretty telling of somebody is willing to put as little or as much up of their capital. They just want to hear that you're in with them.
Yeah.
And I think we left that meeting, and I brought it up at a dinner that we had the other night after everything was all closed. But we left that meeting and I told Corey, I was like, these are the guys we're going to get a deal done with. Like, I had no doubt at that point.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was kind of the turning point. It was such a different approach than everybody else. It's like, okay, we're going to give you this much. Here's a coupon that we want to get paid back. And sure. if you don't, this is what's going to happen. It was kind of like, whoa, I don't know if we're ready for that yet.
Yeah. And you have to, with the brand that you guys have built, you know, Ty, I'll never forget, 2 years ago, we were sitting together at Spotter Summit in Napa.
Yep.
And you expressed
flex,
the mission.
Flex on them.
It was not meant to be a flex. More of just dropping people into the world. It was in a 30-person sauna, but no, it wasn't.
It's a fancy place. It was a fancy place.
I was exaggerating. It's a 25-person sauna. But we were sitting, and you mentioned, like, the mission is for Dude Perfect to be the most trusted brand in entertainment.
Yep.
I thought that was so, that was really impactful for me to hear that. As, like, you know, there's a lot of goal setting around, like, okay, actually, you know, you want to get Dude Perfect to 100 million subscribers. But that kind of gave me a zoomed out macro view of what Dude Perfect is. And it was really impactful for me to hear that. But as you bring on investors and new stakeholders, the like decision making goes beyond you guys now.
Yeah. Right?
And there's other factors. There's now you guys obviously have this big space with more employees, and that will inevitably a year from now, this will be way more people.
Yeah.
Right. And way more things happening with the DP brand on it. When I was listening to Jason from High Mountain Capital talk about the deal, he talked about three steps in the process of, like, how do you now take DP to the next level? The first step was hiring a management team,
yep.
CEO, COO, starting to fill out the C-suite. The second step is ruthless prioritization, which I thought was a really interesting and very important step, especially for people who probably have every opportunity in front of you.
Yeah.
Ruthless prioritization has not defined the five of us for the past 15 years. So
I don't think that
we had the same conversation, and we very much on board with the idea of it.
I don't think that defines any YouTube creator, because, like, you get, like, to be a YouTube creator, Colin said this one time to me, he's like, it's the ticket to the extraordinary. Every day in your inbox, you get an email and you're like, that sounds cool. Maybe we should do that.
I never thought I wanted to do that.
I'm racing next week. Why? I don't know. They asked me.
The third was to pour fuel on the fire of what's already working, right?
Yeah.
Like, that basically give you guys the freedom to produce the content that you're producing. But if we go up to step one, like, that's the first layer of choosing someone who's going to be very intimately involved in the decision making to carry forward this most trusted brand in entertainment.
Yep.
You guys have told us that you've selected a CEO.
Yep.
Can you talk a bit about that process? But how do you even identify someone to take on this role, and tell us a bit about that person?
Yeah. So it's been incredible, because the partners you just mentioned, Jason and the team at High Mount, have just been amazing. And they've said, hey, look, like, we're going to prioritize. Even before the deal got closed, we were looking at the steps of how we would start hiring that management team. So we brought on a search firm called Zeal, who helped us find, they've actually had a lot of expertise with YouTubers and other celebrities that have built out teams themselves for a brand that with some public facing person. And they've been awesome. And so they helped first kind of bring the candidate pool together with any other recommendations that we had. So they did the first layer of vetting. Then the team at High Mount met with those guys, typically in person, which was crazy. And I mean, they met with probably met in person with 60 or 80 guys and girls. And this is, again, is specifically for CEO.
Multiple meetings usually.
Yep. And if it made it past that stage, then I was the guy amongst the dudes who then met that candidate. And so I would Zoom with that candidate or meet in person if they were in town. And so I probably met with 15 different candidates. And so if it made it past that, then they would come and meet here at the office with the full dudes. And so it was an intense process that lasted 8 months.
Yep.
And like we told you, just closed last weekend. And so, I mean, we are thrilled about that. A lot of hard work, a lot of really cool conversations and amazing backgrounds from these people. And again, that was encouraging too. Like, you had legitimate background, legitimate schools. It was just incredible what the type of people that were interested in that role, and that meant a lot to all of us.
Yeah.
And it was just a really cool learning experience.
So the CEO is Andrew Yaffe.
Yep. Andrew Yaffe.
From the NBA.
Yep.
And what was his role at the NBA?
So he did a whole bunch of things over the course of his 10 years there, but his final role was he was running all things social video for them. He helped build the NBA app. He helped do NBA 2K League.
Yep.
He helped them build a league over in, I want to say, Africa. He was tasked with a lot of the special projects at the NBA.
Managed a big team over there.
To help build new revenue streams for the NBA, which is really cool. And yeah, he totally gets it, and we're stoked to have him. He'll be in the office really soon.
That's crazy.
And what's his top priority if we're talking about ruthless prioritization?
Yeah.
No, I think
his
top priority is also building the team first.
Team, for sure.
Straight up, that's his priority. Build the team.
Yeah, we always say, and obviously this is at like a very high scale, but we get asked a lot about hiring in the context of YouTube creators.
Yep.
And you know, we always say you want to hire the person who does the hiring. That's like the first person you want to hire, right? Because it does get challenging to solve. Like, team building is not an easy thing to do.
No.
Like, I don't have that brain of like, how do we hire all these people and build these departments in a company? Like, I just don't.
It's interesting going through the process. The search firm is really helpful just in helping us understand, look, you're not going to find one person that has done live touring.
Right.
Toys at the level of Nerf or, you know, Hasbro. You're not going to have somebody who then has done content, you know, at a Netflix level that's all in one person. You're going to need to find somebody who has a really good skill set in one of the major three areas that we were targeting, and then pair that with an amazing team who can help accomplish those things. So yeah, Andrew's very much on board with that. And we were very impressed with the way he laid out the way he would attack that.
So what are some of the jobs that you hope are taken off your plate? Like, what are some of the smaller things you maybe didn't think you would still be doing that you'd rather not do, that you think someone could maybe do better?
That might take a long time.
Yeah, what are some of yours?
I mean, yeah, just hiring, like, I mean, we've never financially made a decision, like, ever. Like, we've never, like, put a model together and, like, been like, this video, because if we do this and gains this many subscribers and this, financially, this is worth it. It's more like what you said, like, oh, opportunity comes in, we're gonna spend the money to do it. And it could be a flop or a hit, and you know, we've had a lot of flops. And so like, just the whole CFO suite, like, yeah, I mean, paying bills to modeling out analytics to, you know, making sound decisions. Like, I think that's probably the main thing that we need as a company.
I was just gonna say, if we don't have this office anymore when he comes in, then he'll be like, you know what, guys, I modeled it out, it's not worth it, and then you guys should meet at a Panera Bread and just, you know.
Like, you know what, Andrew, they'll kick you out after 2 hours if you stop ordering food. Yeah, we've been there.
We squeaked this office in before the modeling happened, so.
It's good. I hope you'll enjoy it.
Here we are. I think the small things we're excited to get off our plate, for sure, but I think the big ones are the ones that have been like frustrating, right? Like, you get presented with an opportunity to, like you said, it's the cool things that come to your inbox, right? You have merchandise opportunities. There's 10 different ways to go make products. We sit in a room as five guys with
zero
expertise in that area, sitting in a room arguing about the best way to do it, like, knowing that none of us know any better than the person talking in that moment. And so we're really looking forward to getting some really skilled and qualified people in this building who can run each of those areas, and we can trust their recommendation. Doesn't mean we won't disagree. I'm sure that'll happen. Sure. Yeah. But like, this person's done it, so we're gonna go your way.
It
and
also
not
will free
ours.
Us up. Like, the big thing is, it just frees us up to focus on content, which we've never done for 15 years.
It's, and we can actually
content
do
plus something, you know, or content plus managing. Yeah. Kobe's managing, you know, all the HR. It's just all types of stuff. So this is gonna free us to like sit in a room. We're not just completely just drained from doing whatever. Now we can create, you know, good videos for people to consume.
That's amazing. Because I remember, that's amazing you guys say that you're still in the weeds like that. I mean, I think that's common, again, amongst a lot of YouTube creators. But I remember...
But at a company of your size,
yeah,
I do not think that's common.
No,
heck
no.
That to me is unbelievable.
It's probably not wise. definitely one of the pieces of feedback we got from all the interviewing and the raising and everything. They were like, and it's how many people? We're like, well, us five plus. Yeah, so, and they're like,
The private equity people were like, y'all built this with that?
Yeah.
And they were like, I think we could probably squeeze it a little better.
We're underwhelming. We get it. We present a little underwhelming.
Ty?
Like, in between segments of an overtime, right around Christmas time, I'll get pulled away and guys sitting there with a journal trying to sell me on a bonus structure. Like, dude, I've been crushing up you guys. I think I deserve this as a bonus. I'm like, 100%. Let me talk to the dudes and then we'll circle back. And then
it trickles every employee after that one happens. Over the next 2 weeks, Cody's just in his office talking to employees.
Which we always say, like, that's no one's fault but our own. Like, we have not done what we're doing now
to like set it up to where there's a real structure for our employees who work their tails off to like have their own set, you know, rhythm of how those things are supposed to go. I mean, I wish I could say we've done perfect one-on-ones with 28 employees for 15 years.
I do year interviews with all my employees.
Do.
I do.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Really good. We enjoy that time.
I bet y'all do.
Yeah. Is that in the hunting blind?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
But yeah, we're way too involved on the specifics still.
Have you guys scaled the production side though? Because I remember 9-10 years ago when we came, I was shocked at that point that when we landed in Frisco, I remember going out to shoot lacrosse trick shots.
Yep.
We showed up day one, we had rented this like, you know, field, and we show up and I was like, where are the camera guys?
He's right there.
Yeah. Cody, I have footage of you just hunched over a camera shooting with the gimbal. And I was like, oh, you guys are the camera guys.
Plus one. We had one guy.
Yeah. I actually never got behind the camera.
I was never a camera.
You turned on a GoPro.
Gare literally never. Ty, very rarely. It used to be Kobe and Cody and I would switch off holding a camera and then I would do all the editing. And then finally, when we all went full time and we moved from Austin to Dallas, we all joined forces. I was like, guys, I need at least one editor to help me, please, or else we have to call it quits. And it was like my thing. And we're like, okay, let's do it. So we hired one editor. And then 6 months later, we hired another guy. And now we're up to 8 or 9.
Both those guys are still here.
They're both here.
But that was Chad and Tim.
Chad and Tim.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. But that was like at 10 million subscribers.
Yeah.
That wasn't like.
And I still wouldn't say we've done a great job. That's the area that we have grown the most and have, out of everything, probably done the best job at growing that. But
yeah, the honest,
not perfect.
The honest answer for that is like, yes, it has gotten to be a larger team, but I think the task has just gotten bigger, right? Like, this is just the honest for us, for Dude Perfect. We used to be able to make a 5-minute video that was trick shots. And it was very hard to do them, and it took a lot of time.
I remember.
But the edit was not as hard, even though we spent a lot of time on it, and it didn't take as long to edit it just because it's a 5-minute video.
Sure.
With all the changes in YouTube, like, we get it. We're making longer and longer videos. Also, people are just asking us to make longer and longer videos. Well, obviously, you have a longer video. It's going to take longer to edit it. Then your graphics are going to get better. Your quality is going to get better. You're going to add more cameras. And so the reality is, yes, we're putting out a little more content than we used to, but you would think if you go from a 1-person, then 2-person, then 3-person team to 10-person team that we're putting out a lot more content, and we're really not yet.
The bar is just
continuing to raise.
The bar gets higher, but the issue is taste, right? Because I assume you guys are still the final watch.
Totally.
Like, you're not putting out content without you guys watching it.
Yeah.
And I even have been with you guys when you're workshopping thumbnails. So you're still making the thumbnails, right? So it's like, that is one part. Marques Brownlee has a great, he talks about how like running a YouTube channel, it's like, think of it as like an octopus. You can like cut off some of the tentacles and give them to other people, but there's like a heart that you just can't let go of. Huh. That's like, you have to figure out what makes it. And I feel like a lot of times it's like the ideation and the packaging of the videos are actually really at the center of that. I even when I think about how you guys scale, I'm sure this term came up, but like key person risk. Did this come up?
Yeah.
Right. In raising capital, where it means like, what happens in the world where you guys aren't doing this? Does this thing still run? And in today's world, I imagine on the content, it's outside of you guys being in front of the camera, even just coming up with the ideas and operating a YouTube channel is deeply you guys. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is an area we've made some improvement on. I mean, we definitely have a creative team who helps, but they've seen that we still care, right? And so you're right, it doesn't run without us. It's gotten better without us, but we're still very involved in that. And so, yeah, if we weren't present, that would shake it up quite a bit.
I think there, one thing we're very excited about is to bring in other talent that is either homegrown that we're finding when they're younger and helping them develop, or, okay, this person already exists, maybe they're doing their own thing, but we wanna bring them in to help us run Dude Perfect Golf, Dude Perfect Outdoors, whatever it is. And I think that there's a different mindset. Yes, we have a creative team that is amazing. I think there's a different untapped potential of a creator mindset. Y'all know that's a different creative mindset than like anything else out there. So if we can bring other people in for their channels that we will help oversee and pop in and be a part of it, but it's their thing, we all feel really strongly that that can work. And I think that is like super scalable, you know? Like, there's only so much time that we have that we can film, especially for our main channel.
It's scalable so long as you guys are comfortable that it has a Dude Perfect brand on it. Totally. You might not watch it all before it goes out.
100%.
Right?
And you may not like it completely.
You have to get comfortable giving feedback after it's already live versus seeing it before, right? Which is a different shift.
It's different.
In creators.
We've started to taste it with the Dude Perfect app where we have people on the team who watch every piece of content from every creator, no matter how trusted they are, before it goes up. Same with the ads. That does get harder and harder the more content you have, and we're not the ones watching all of that content before it goes up, to your point. So as long as you have the right people doing it and the right people, you know, making sure that it's still trusted by the families that we're building this whole thing on, then you're right, it can work. But it's definitely not easy.
I heard you guys say that, you know, you don't want to be in your mid-50s doing trick shots or screaming at the camera or doing overtime. But when that moment comes, what is the plan? Who's on the channel?
We've said we don't want to have to be, right? Like, I think it's an important
distinction
that we've talked about is, like, we love doing this. I mean, it's what you said too, and we talk about it often. Like, doing this allows us to have some of the coolest experiences on Earth, right? Like, there is no setting that aside. I mean, we've gotten
Kobe went to space. He wants to say it right now. He wants to say it. For example, I went to space. He's showing some good restraint
over his head
right
the whole time. astronaut.
I'll say it for him. He went to space. Oh my gosh.
I was actually thinking
that
the team got to go to the Olympics. That was a very cool experience.
Sure.
sure, space. I'm glad you guys were thinking it.
But seeing the Earth in its entirety.
The experiences that come along with this type of job are unbelievable. We would love to be able to still be involved. We don't want the whole thing to hinge on us being on the treadmill
every other week.
Yeah. If we didn't make an incredible video, the whole company and all these employees and people who moved their families to be here are hinging on that moment. And I think that matters.
What are some of the, like, if we can just dig into the content right now, like, thing that I found really amazing is over decade that I've known you guys and watched your content, like, you know, I have a 8-year-old nephew who's like all in on DP.
Yeah.
And, the amazing thing is you guys also release your videos on Saturdays.
Yeah.
That I assume that's intentional because it creates this vibe of, like, from what I remember was Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
There's like a Saturday morning, let's turn on Dude Perfect when it's on. Is the audience aging up with you guys, or is it just that more families are discovering Dude Perfect? And then in line with that, what are the formats you guys are producing and how do you think those have expanded the brand from trick shots?
Yeah, for sure. The kind of way that we describe it internally is, you know, we have obviously the, like, middle school, elementary school boy is like the primo, like, Dude Perfect, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old.
Most diehard.
That expands to the girls that are more sports oriented, or even like with overtime, we expanded our female audience a ton. That goes now expands to the family, things like that. But what's crazy is, like, we had guys that we were at A&M with when we first started making our videos who now have kids that are watching Dude Perfect. And so we've seen, like, that one generation turnover of Dude Perfect fan. And I think, you know, as the kids grow up and they go to high school and college, they kind of leave and maybe go to, like, Barstool or whatever it is for their college years. They start getting married, having kids, and then now they're like, oh, my kid's going to watch Dude Perfect. And it's like this cycle that starts over again. And I think each piece of content that we have relates to a little bit different audience.
Yep.
And so, like I mentioned, the overtime is a little bit more male-female balanced, stereotype skew much older audience because it's very shareable with your friends. And like we do new parent stereotypes. There's obviously not a ton of kids that can relate to that. The battle videos is just personality-based. That wasn't supposed to be a joke.
I started visualizing.
Theoretically, there should be zero kids.
My kids are very well versed.
That's great.
The trick shot videos people still want to see, which is, you know, we've kind of phased out of that, but there'll be a trick shot video from here very soon. So I think each piece of content that we come out with tends to lean a little bit to a different audience. And I think we're still very much trying to come up with new content, like the Quest video, the baseball, the race that Cody's about to do. We've got a few more of those planned. And then I think from there, it's really going to be the branching out to the other channels that we focus on spending time and effort into really turning those into something, at least for the first 2 years that we're still pretty heavily involved in, until we feel like those are in a good enough place to where it either becomes even better without our involvement, or it's like, hey, it frees us up to now go try that with something else.
But, so what are the new channels and what can we expect to see roll out?
Still figuring that out right now. We had a big meeting yesterday about some of the ones that we feel like are areas to win. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but like the gaming space, I feel like it's just kind of a questionable one for parents. For me, my 4 and 5 year old love Minecraft. They love watching those videos on YouTube. There's just, if I'm not sitting there with them, I can't let them just watch gaming videos on YouTube.
Sure.
So if there was a Dude Perfect Gaming channel, I think that'd be awesome. It would immediately give validation to that channel that parents, hey, go let your kids watch it. Not an issue. Golf, we're all huge golfers. The golf space is something that I don't think when we started off, you really could have been successful 15 years ago with a dedicated golf channel.
Yeah.
And now it's just mind-blowing how many golf creators are doing very well on YouTube.
Really good job.
And it's something that we're all very passionate about. And so I just think that would be a fun, that would feel kind of like starting over for us, where it's like that excitement of the new videos kind of comes back in that realm. Outdoor space is something I'm super passionate about. Obviously, some of these other guys have gotten into it more recently, but I think that'd be a lot of fun, especially with our kids growing up and being able to introduce them to the outdoors. And we have kind of a concept of taking out other people. So like taking Mark Rober out on his first hunting or fishing trip and letting him experience the outdoors for the first time and the viewers following along with that, I think would be a lot of fun. Dude Perfect Fitness, one of our buddies that's in a lot of our stereotype videos is hilarious. And he's done a bunch of stuff in that area already. So we've had conversations with him about, man, what would that look like if we kind of gave you free reign over a Dude Perfect Fit app or, you know, running like kids camps and stuff like that. So it's still very much in like the brainstorming phase. Sure. And we've again been kind of waiting for Andrew to get in here to help like shape, hey, what if we gave you a list of eight?
Prioritization.
Yeah, ruthless. Ruthless. Prioritize that.
Yeah. There's two others we got to mention because that list is amazing and these two have to happen as well.
Dude Perfect Star Wars?
Dude Perfect Kids.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Has to happen. Dude, you know, Dude Perfect Junior, whatever it is, and then Girl Perfect, whatever you want to call it. The amount of times people have asked us for either of those two things over the course of forever. So TBD on whether we're selecting all these ourselves. We're talking about doing basically a reality show on our main channel to fill out some of these rosters.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the way here. We were like, you could do like a Making the Band.
Yeah.
You guys remember that show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think we've had, you know, which again, huge honor. Appreciate that anyone would think this, but you know, a bunch of people comment over the years, man, I would love to be the sixth dude. Are they ever going to add another guy? That whole vibe of join the team.
Just bring
and
Sean
the fact
back.
That,
yeah, just bring him back. Yeah. Come on, Sean. leave your doctor's office. Come on back.
So, the fact that we're like actually at the point where we may actually be adding some extra layers to Dude Perfect. We think that is obviously a fun opportunity for people to like literally be a part of Dude Perfect. So we'll see how that pans out, but that's gonna be fun.
So Andrew's job is to come and be like, hey guys, this all sounds great.
Yep.
Why don't we start with one?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Again, they're gonna put a model behind it. They're gonna go after it.
That's just content.
You always match your notebook to your shirt, by the way?
I do.
You do?
And I knew you were gonna mention it.
Gosh, that is
a mustard yellow too.
It's like that's very
it's distracting. Yeah, it's
distracting. No, it's not distracting, it's just nice complimentary.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people go shoes, he goes notebook.
Also, I'm not a perfect match here.
Well, but it is in the Green family. It's kind of a combo of the two.
Your pages are his color.
Your pages are yellow.
My pages are yellow.
Yeah. There's nothing in here.
Okay. It's just a problem.
It's just a problem. So in DP Kids, is that suggestive of animation?
Well,
Two separate things.
We absolutely want to do a Dude Perfect animated series.
Yep.
We would love for our own kids to watch it. We've had a million people ask us for it.
Yeah, of course.
So we're going to do Dude Perfect Kids books.
Like it's also very expensive.
Series. Very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do a kids book series that whole universe is also animated. So that's very real. That's both of those are going to happen.
I think if I'm ruthlessly prioritizing in the content, if I may, I'm probably trying to attempt a content format that doesn't require you guys necessarily. And also doesn't have that variability of like additional cast. Cause that's also a massive variable.
Yeah.
Like additional cast is not, it's not necessarily, like, you can talk about it and be like, oh yeah, we'll just bring some people in. But like, that's a really challenging thing to do.
Yep.
And to incentivize them for a very long time. Cause then you're right now, the hit show is you guys and you guys own the company.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You make another hit show with talents that, like, to solve that incentive structure to me sounds hard. And then do you feel right now with the, like,
before you continue, Samir, would you like to accept the offer of president of content for Dude Perfect moving forward?
I would love that.
And then Colin, what do you want?
I thought I was the CEO.
Yeah. All I'll do is kick all day. I'll practice.
I would love to be head of content. That would be a great time.
All I want to do now is your journey to the 60-yard kick. I mean, that's all I can see from a content perspective.
That's one piece of footage. Dude, that's we need a whole
productions. Week. That's when I got that.
I think that would be good. It's like, you remember the MTV show Made?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like that.
God, I haven't watched that in forever.
Yeah, it'd be just like that.
Forever about that.
Sick.
Yeah.
So we're on the topic here of scaling versus not scaling. What's scalable? What isn't? Out of your business right now, what do you consider to be the most scalable part where you feel like it's the furthest along that it could live without you guys?
Even though we've taken a break from it, I think, like, Dude Perfect Games in the market would be the simplest, most scalable piece that we'd be really excited about. I don't know if we've shared before. Our Dude Perfect 2 game was what it was called, Dude Perfect 2 on iPhone and Android.
Is that like the puzzle one?
That one.
That's the
was
really, that's the polished one.
They were both puzzly, but it was the newer fancier. Puzzly one.
Okay.
Dude Perfect 2 had 50 million downloads.
Oh my God.
And it was a free game, but you could do in-app purchases and stuff inside. And so, like, it was a big hit. It did really, really well.
Great game.
Miniclip developed it. They do 8-Ball Pool and a bunch of other stuff. And I was literally running that project, and it was awesome. And then who knows what all we got into, TV show and everything else. And it's just a great example of
beans.
Like,
I remember the beans.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, okay. We're still in beans.
Still in the bean business.
We get a bean check.
Yeah.
Listen, you get a bean check still?
My father-in-law was at his ranch.
Some of that money's from his mailbox.
That's from us.
That's
from us.
That's amazing. We got the jalapeno.
We don't get all the check now anymore, if you remember. We get some of the check.
But that's a great example of, we can be very involved in the ideas, in everything that's created, but once that thing is polished that's and amazing. Shipped off, and it's something we're really proud of, I think that absolutely scales.
And this is why we need a CEO, because I would say experiential is the biggest opportunity. Mm.
Oh, right.
So now we need somebody to come and ruthlessly prioritize.
That's where the financial
this is where we're headed.
It's so good.
Explain that, OT.
I would probably say
experiential. Yeah. So obviously we have our live show, our live tour will be coming up on year 5 of doing that next summer. But we've also talked about everybody has watched Dude Perfect do these battles and competitions for the last 15 years. All sports golf battle, like every comment is, man, I just wish I could go do that with my friends. Like that looks so fun. So this goes into the big destination and all that stuff. But I think there's even a smaller scale version of this that we have some very specific ideas that could live on in a smaller scale format. But I think the go-to, like the Van Gogh experience, or we took our kids to the Jurassic Park experience. Yeah. Super well done, pop-up shop basically in a city around here. And you have those traveling destinations that move around. We could get great feedback for the different pieces of the things that we're looking to include in the big destination. And I think we could develop a very, very fun for families experiential Dude Perfect
that lives in their market for 2 months before it moves to Chicago and then moves to New York. And we actually have gotten really long and really far along in that process, and that's a perfect example of, like, Ty specifically has been very involved in coming up with the specific things that would live in that. But once that's done and produced and there's a team in charge of it and it's living in Chicago and about to move to New York on its own, we can be hands off, right? Like, that does not require us to be there, but it would be a really good extension of what people see in the videos for families.
So it feels like we have to talk about the big Dude Perfect world.
Yep.
The image, the mock-up that you guys put out into the world. I know there's a physical kind of little model here, right?
Yeah.
At that space. Is that like when will we be able to walk into that? Is that like a real thing that we feel like
it depends on if you buy the Apple VR headset.
Ty, you want to speak to that?
I'm not even going to give any estimated dates anymore, because I feel like moving into this office along with that process is the never ending
Do you know journey. When this was originally scheduled?
I don't know when it's originally scheduled.
Oh, you're saying with you guys.
Yeah, with us.
When was it originally scheduled?
March.
Yeah, that was absurd.
No way.
That was foolish.
I mean, we've been talking about this office for over 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. March. Have you guys been in town since March?
Yeah. We've just been hanging out.
I'm sorry about that, guys. Hey,
this thing's dead in the water.
You must have gotten married here.
Yeah. We're usually more accessible than that.
I do think, I mean,
that's crazy.
Just like this space, like it took a while, but it came together fast. Like, I think that's going to be how Dude Perfect World is. Like, we're still trying to figure out those details that are very important that no one wants to like take time on, but they're necessary. And then once those decisions are made, I think it's going to come together really fast.
Do you have enough capital to do that, or you have to get more capital to do that?
It's just kind of a good question for Andrew.
Yeah.
It kind of just depends on how you want to, you know, how Andrew and then, you know, investors want to tackle that. Do they want to keep it under the same umbrella?
Yeah. It looks like I got enough.
That's sick.
Do they want to keep it under the same umbrella, or do they want to make it a separate entity? I mean, just all that kind of, you know, legal jargon stuff. But I do think we'll probably, I do think it will probably be separate, if I had to guess today, that it'll be a whole separate thing that will live on its own. And I'm not saying more capital, right? It could be the same investors that did, you know.
Sure.
Invest into us, just kind of scoots them over. But
I will say that, like, in the same way we were encouraged with people wanting to invest in the company, when we were shopping that around, like, the amount of encouragement we got from not just cities, but people that would push a real check across the table to be involved in that was pretty insane.
Really.
Even again, cities just you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Cities were throwing
like, out. How would this be successful in Winchesterton, Fieldsville, Iowa? I'm not sure.
Cities were throwing millions and millions of dollars at it.
It's also an incredible mock-up.
Yeah.
It was one of the most beautiful images.
The architecture company we work with is absolutely top shelf.
Same like, being in an architecture major, you know, it would not look like that structurally. You know, architects have a... Okay. Architects have a, you know,
a wet blanket on our combo.
They love to design things that just can't stand up by themselves. You know,
here's the complete honest truth. We started with our own idea of Dude Perfect World in our minds, and it's this big. Okay. And then we didn't want to limit ourselves to just whatever we thought. So we brought in this group that does what these groups do, and they make your ideas even bigger. But we were on board, and we still are on board, because these guys have pulled off massive projects. And just like everything, kind of like with the financial side, they see more in us than we necessarily immediately see in ourselves. And so they helped make the idea way bigger and better than it was. We get to the point where we release it to the world. We get a ton of feedback back from groups that would make sense, and some that would be a little surprising but still make a lot of sense, and crazy money thrown around and all the benefits and tax breaks and it's obviously very complicated. But we got to a point where we had a couple really strong options, got it down to about 3 locations in the country. And it was at that point that we decided we needed to raise money, not just for that, but for all these other things that are happening.
Got it.
And so then the short answer for the long story is we knew we needed to hire a CEO. And we really felt like we'd be doing that person a disservice if we chose an answer on this thing that's going to be a massive part of our company without them here. So we had to wait for that. Now that this person's here, I think you're going to hopefully hear more about this soon.
A lot of decisions to do.
Yeah,
he's
got
a lot on his plate.
Every conversation ends with like, well, but Andrew will figure it out.
Yeah,
it's an Andrew problem.
That's
an
Andrew problem.
So excited, Mark. We're so excited to have
CEOs like that, right?
Yeah, that's what they do. So you mentioned to me, which I really love, this framework of stadium, show, shelf.
Yep.
Stadium being like the experiential side of the business.
Yep.
The show being digital and the expansion of content. Shelf being the expansion of
merchandise. Yep.
I want to come back to the show part real quick as you expand. I'm curious your perspective on the landscape of YouTube, because you guys are talking now about starting relatively from scratch on some of these channels. Obviously you have the Dude Perfect brand name.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys feel that as you are launching these new channels, the Dude Perfect brand will carry enough weight to drive viewership and audience into these new channels? Or do you feel like you have the DNA in terms of, we can put out a video and we know what's going to work right now on YouTube, even though
it's in a different vertical.
Yeah, it's in a different vertical, and it's in a different time of YouTube, right?
Yeah.
YouTube today is very different from 2009, very different from 2011 and 12.
I mean, it's a great question. I think my immediate thought is like, that's why we're hiring really young people here.
Yeah.
Like, we feel young, but we've been doing this for 15 years. And the people that we're hiring right now, we just hired a young social media guy who hasn't even graduated college yet. And like, he's tapped in on all of that stuff.
He was two when we started.
He was. We discovered that the other day.
Oh, wait, that's real.
Two years old.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Such a riz. Right?
He's got a lot of riz.
He's got a lot of riz. They,
so he tells us.
Hired based on riz.
Yes.
Hired based on his riz count.
So I'm not going to pretend that we have all the answers of what would work today on a totally new channel. Right. I think we certainly have our own gut. And to Ty's point, the things we're excited about are the ones we'll do first because we want to be passionate about these other wings and things that we want to launch. But yeah, it's
the hope is that the brand name will lend itself to the trust, and then we obviously have the ability to create the quality high-end content with the team that we've built over the last 15 years. And I think with the passion added to the stuff that we naturally care about and want to be a part of and are excited about, I think there's an audience out there, like the golf realm, for example. I'm not saying we're going to break into the golf space and be one of the biggest creators out there, but I think there are an overlap of Dude Perfect fans who are also golf fans who can't watch Dude Perfect Golf because it doesn't exist right now. So they watch some other golf creator. And if there was a Dude Perfect Golf option, they would happily jump into Dude Perfect Golf and watch that as well.
Yeah.
So our goal is not to jump in and be like, well, we're going to be the number one in this, the number one in this, number one in this. But I think if we can create a sustainable model in each of those and then enjoy the process and also add people to the team, then it's a no-brainer, and it would be a ton of fun too.
Yeah, and we do think each of those lends itself to, like you said, the Stadium Show shelf, right? Like if you do it right and you have a really good kids channel, then that obviously lends itself, I'm saying kids in this case being animated. If you do it right and you have really good animated content, of course you could build a product line off of that. And I mean, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and Disney on Ice was probably the favorite thing she's ever seen, right? And like all that is them taking their content and then doing a real life version of it. And then there's toys that live with, they've done it better than anybody. And that exists in our future if, you know, we're able to execute on it. And
that's
why we're doing Dude Perfect
on Ice next year. We're taking skating lessons and we're all five.
I think he's been training on the sim. Dude, I can twirl.
Wait till you see my triple Sal Cal. It's to die for.
It's good. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would come see that.
I think that would work. Once. You'd come see it once.
I'd come see it once.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
The tour name for 25.
It's a comedy show.
Dude Perfect on Ice.
It is pretty amazing. You guys are touring in like internationally.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
we're excited about that.
A Northern Ireland Belfast show currently for sale for a year from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Get it while it's hot. That's crazy.
That'll be a fun one. We haven't obviously done a whole lot.
A lot of fans in Belfast.
Overseas.
Golf courses over in Belfast.
Yeah. There's golf.
A handful of tour decisions may or may not be made with golf.
If there's a 50-50 tiebreaker, it always leans better golf. If your city has terrible golf,
you're not getting a tour.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get Dude Perfect there.
Then you can double up and film for the Golf Channel.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's of course the justification of it.
Yes.
I like where your head's at. That's a CEO mentality.
There you go, guys. You can take that one for free. So for the main channel, for a channel of your size, for everything you guys want to launch, obviously it needs to stay consistent, right? To be able to talk about some of these things, promote these things, keep everything healthy. How many videos do you need to put out in a year? And how much viewership is enough?
It's a great question. If you can tell us the answer, that would be awesome.
Or at least Andrew will know.
We go back and forth on that question is the honest answer. Like, I think there are times for sure that we wish we could spend even more time on one concept. The video we're about to release is called Trick Shots Measured in Miles. It will be out by the time this video's out. But it took us
5 months.
Not the longest ever, but like 5 to 6 months.
We had the video idea 2 years ago.
We've had the video idea for a long time, but we have literally been actively filming it in spurts because that's just how it is. They're big slices of the video for 6 months. And so there are times that we wish that everything could be like that. Man, we're really excited about this one specific idea. Let's take as long as it takes to make this a spectacle of a video. The Mark Rober video was similar. It's like, this is it's a big idea and it's a big production, but we're really excited about it. So I think there's a world where we wish that we could slow down a little bit. Right now we're 2 videos a month. I think we would like, in a perfect world, we'd probably like to do every 3 weeks or maybe even once a month, a little more Mark Rober cadence. I don't know if that's a good or bad idea with the algorithm. I don't know.
Yep.
I think that that type of freedom would be great. And especially as we're pursuing these other things, we may need to do that. But at the same time, like, I don't know, maybe we go the opposite direction and we're still so in the weeds on everything that it feels like this is overwhelming right now, or it's really hard and we don't have any more margin. But maybe if we actually do a good job hiring the team, then we put out more videos. So I don't think we have the perfect answer for that. But
is there a certain amount of viewership per video that you guys are like, that's good for DP video, that's bad for DP video, or not?
Internally, I mean, it usually just goes off previous launches at this point. Because, like, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a secret. 2016, 2017, we couldn't put out a video that got less than 30 million views, like, in a year's time. Like, I remember if we woke up the next morning and it had 10 million, that was like, man, that was a good video. And that was like, that was heyday. Like, that was every single video we put out.
Those are the videos that have 500 million now.
Yeah, and those are also videos that are 3, 4, 5 minutes, which is crazy now to think, like, about putting out a 3-minute video and seeing how that would absolutely just tank your channel.
Ronaldo he's breaking the mold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, good point. Yeah, he obviously knows more about YouTube than we do.
YouTube be opening the door for us.
It wasn't 3 minutes.
I think at this point, how proud are we internally before it ever even launches?
Yeah.
Like, that's our bar. Like, did we enjoy doing it? Would we do another one?
Yeah.
And is the team internally like, man, that was an awesome video? And we're probably very opposite of the analytical, like, oh, we should have done this and changed this title and done this different. But 15 years in, you kind of create your own scale for how proud you are of your content. And that's kind of where we're at.
Can't control the
I like
control
the result. Basketballs out of an airplane.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
I like that video a lot. And the thumbnail was very different.
Yeah.
That was not...
That was very new age. Dude, perfect.
That was our team. You know.
That was a full AI thumbnail. And we tried to create our own better than that thumbnail with our graphic designer and even reached out to some other people. Couldn't beat it. Launched it. Video did really well. But we also got a lot of... what the heck, this is an AI thumbnail comments. And so we're like, okay, let's try again to beat it with the regular, and we couldn't beat it. And that's interesting because it's such an out there idea that, like, weirdly, AI just did a good job making it feel compelling. Yeah. So I think, you know, maybe you'll see a little bit of that here and there. We think our style of thumbnail is very real. We're trying to convey, like, what you're looking at happens in the video. Like, that obviously is where we started.
Right.
Trick shot video, you're gonna see this. This is a screenshot from the video, you know, of a water bottle flip or whatever it is. It's harder to do that when it's just a big idea concept video, like drop 1,000 basketballs from an airplane or whatever it is. But
as long as the video pays off what you clicked on, that's the authenticity.
I was actually surprised that it paid off that exact thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Totally. I know, like, that is what you guys did, but it was shocking when it happened.
There's a round two coming.
Adam and
I talked about it yesterday.
There's
round two that's gonna be fun.
And do you like diving the Aztec?
It was great. Just, you know, it's out back.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that you won that.
I'm very proud of myself.
Does the content on YouTube and the performance there match the performance of the content on the DP app? Or is that a different
You're saying, like, if one's good,
it's a good question.
On one place, is it good on the other?
I
think that we have millions of people watching on the app, which is incredible.
Wow.
I don't think, what I was gonna say, they're a little more, even more hardcore, right? Like, they're watching it all, you know? So I don't know how exactly mirrored they are because they're dialed. The algorithm isn't present in the same way. If they're served they probably watch it. I know, isn't it kind of refreshing?
We could post our 3-minute pickleball video and they would all watch it.
They would all watch it. And so,
you're like, this is sick!
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
Cody doing his laundry.
But, I mean, we think about it the same way. I was so proud of that video, and so I was so proud for it to launch early on the app and on YouTube. I was excited for everybody who was going to see it, because I was like, man, we're really happy with that one.
How many people have the app?
I want to give you a real answer.
So do it.
Well, I would make up the specific answer. Can you find out how many downloads we have on the Dude Perfect app across all platforms? Across 2 million? Okay. Over 2 million people have the Dude Perfect app.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty
just
insane.
Just over 2 million, not like on the high end of 2 million.
Is 2.2? Is that just
I'm gonna
over?
I'm going to say it's close.
Okay.
It's close.
Okay.
And then 2.9.
But keep it real.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
It's good to keep it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it a buck.
Log it.
I mean, that's crazy, though. Like, millions of people are watching.
Yeah.
And you like, conceptually, the DP app is, hey, you know, I got a text from my sister-in-law who was like, my kids want to watch YouTube, but I need an approved list from you of who they can watch. Mm. And I thought that was a
that was an interesting question. And I was like, oh, the Dude Perfect app solves that problem.
Yeah.
Right? Like when I got that text, I was like, oh, there's a real problem that needs to be solved.
Mm. I think the real problem that we see for families is, hey, I have a ninth grader, a fourth grader, and a kindergartner in my house. And I have no idea
it's a pretty big spread.
What they can watch, right? Like that happens all the time. And, you know, maybe you can find stuff.
That's a pretty big spread. That's not an incredibly realistic scenario. That's like, I took a big gap.
Spread?
Let's try again. I took a big yes.
No, I didn't question the spread. Just to be clear, I didn't question the spread.
Yeah.
I know. I accepted the spread.
Have any kids.
I also accepted the concept of the spread.
It's much more common to have a 2 year.
Are you okay with a seventh grader down to kindergartner?
It's a more appropriate example. But
if we're pretending to be.
You got a kid in college, one in diapers, and then a kid in college has a granddaughter.
Keep going.
I think you were about to say something. Just so I don't want to cut
what
it out.
I was getting at is there can be a pretty big spread depending on how big you think it should be of the age of your kids and your family.
Yeah.
And to have something that the oldest kid and the youngest kid could both enjoy and that the parents are comfortable with is really hard.
Well said, Kobe.
I agree with that.
We're so enjoyable for all ages.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to say.
And so obviously we
I'm
have
so thankful for Andrew.
I hope he doesn't give us long answers.
We've tried to do that ourselves, but finding other creators that fit that mold that we can add in that when you respond to your aunt, it's not just Dude Perfect.
Sister-in-law.
Yeah. You're terrible as
well. When you respond to your sister-in-law.
Maybe yes or no questions now for the twins would be good.
Ours fits that mold.
Yeah. How do you get the creators to say yes? Like what's the incentive right now for like Mark Rober?
Half of them have reached out to us and wanting to be
that's cool.
on the app.
I also
think it's like what you just said. Like at the end of the day, creators, you know, this is a real problem on YouTube. Like this is I think more and more people are understanding is a real problem. Creators want to differentiate themselves to that side of the equation. They don't want to be on the side of, oh, you're the Minecraft guy that no kid can watch.
Yeah.
Yep. So like, I think, you know, being associated with the Dude Perfect app is like a good step to that. It's a good step in approval for a bunch of family. Like, hey, look, not only are we on the Dude Perfect app, so you can watch this stuff on our YouTube, you can watch our YouTube channel. Because they allowed us on the app. So I do think there's part of that that some YouTube creators want to have, like that I think is just
we're also trying to make it a really good situation for the creators that say yes. Like they get a great, you know, revenue split with us. We also allow them to run their own ads. So like that's something that is expensive on YouTube if you do it. Very few people pay the money to buy out their own channel and run their own ads, but you can have ads. It's totally up to them. So if they want to put QR codes within their ads and make it, you know, really easy. And this is the leaned in, dialed in audience, right? Yeah. You know, that's what all the brands and people want. They don't want the casual, I'm barely looking. They want the sitting in the living room, watch the big screen, completely 100% focused. And like, that's the audience that's on our app. So it's pretty cool.
Like Mark is struggling with Crunch Labs. It's kind of this new
this
thing.
This tiny little company.
He should run some ads.
Yeah, he should run some ads. We'll get
throw
his name out there.
We're trying to throw him a bone.
Yeah.
He only does like 40 million a month or something.
My last question is, what does the revenue mix of Dude Perfect look like today? And what do you hope it looks like in the future?
Like where, like the categories?
Yeah. I think our revenue model is, you know, we've done a really good job of having brands attached to our videos. So like sponsorships, kind of the lifeblood of Dude Perfect.
I think even in that area, we've gotten better at doing the longer term.
Yeah,
partnerships.
Yeah,
partnerships. So it's not just a one-off video, but it's the bigger partners.
Experiential is a big part.
The live tour.
And then, you know, you can throw in all the other like royalty and merchandise and e-commerce stuff in the one little bucket.
Don't sleep on beans.
I'm not sleeping on them, man. I brought them for a reason. Yeah, I'm eating them.
Definitely don't sleep on
them. I slept on them once. It's not a good idea.
I think, obviously, those three buckets will remain a key component. We're going to add to those, and we're going to really squeeze those more tightly. I mean, I think the e-commerce side alone is such a low-hanging piece of fruit that we've kind of dabbled in, but we've never given it any thought.
Our merch is a joke.
And so, like, I do think those will always be part, but I think there's going to be more buckets added to it. Hopefully, again, you know, don't want to throw this on Andrew, but, you know, he's going to really help us prioritize which ones we focus on and make those key components to the lifeblood of Dude Perfect, and we'll go from there.
Well, guys, thanks so much for having us.
For coming.
Appreciate it. It's been really cool to see HQ1, and then we kind of skipped over HQ2 and came right to HQ3.
Well, you guys came to the spotter party, right, at HQ? Or were you not there?
Oh, no, we were
there.
We were there last year.
Did you literally never come to HQ2?
No, we never came to HQ2.
Whoa.
You can go see it now. There's nothing in it, but you can see those shit.
We'll go swing by. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad that you guys weren't there.
Sorry for the March debacle.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months off.
I mean, I'm very familiar
still
with construction.
Still not done, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it would only be right to end this with a chance at redemption, a web redemption.
Yeah.
Field goal kick.
We'll scoot it up. We'll go to the 10.
I mean, that's what the people want to see for sure.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is.
Let's do it.
It's time.
Who's coming in? I'm not the holder.
Oh, you're okay. Okay. I'm scared.
Unless, of course, you think it's a dead end.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Do we even have to move the light?
All right. First of all, I just always love spending time with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like any opportunity we get, whether it's on camera or off camera, I love spending time with them.
They are so like naturally funny and witty.
Totally.
Considering there are five of them, they have so much chemistry. Like on the studio tour, which I'm excited for everyone to see eventually, it's just moving so quick. Everyone's throwing out jokes. Like they are just naturally these guys you see in the video. Like they are high energy.
They're also friends. And I know that sounds, you know, funny to say, but it's been a long time that they've been doing this. But, you know, in the beginning, we talk a lot about their decision to not sell DP fully. And I thought a lot about that and we talked about it a bit, but there's a lifestyle consideration there that if they did do that, sure, they would have this life-changing exit, but they wouldn't meet up every day and like play sports together and laugh together. And I think that's a real consideration when you build a fun lifestyle brand around your friendships.
If you sell Dude Perfect and you sell your channel and walk away, you also risk watching it fall.
Ooh, yeah.
And that, right?
Yeah.
And fall maybe even a little bit, right? It wouldn't be like catastrophic, but just sitting on the sidelines and watching the brand that you built that means so much to you turn into something that you don't want it to be and you know you're still capable. That's like being, you know, the star quarterback on an NFL team and you're in your prime, but you just decide to walk away.
Right.
And then the team starts like not performing.
So we ended the conversation talking about ruthless prioritization that their new CEO is going to have to implement. And we talked about that throughout the conversation. But I wanted to have us talk a little bit about what would we prioritize if we were the CEO of Dude Perfect?
I would prioritize long form content, whether it's on their main channel or on new channels, right? Like whether it's on Dude Perfect Golf, which sounds like it's coming,
right?
DP Gaming, which already exists, like long form, almost live style content, similar to Rhett and Link's Good Mythical Morning. What can you make that is very low lift and has a low barrier to entry, but still gives fans of Dude Perfect that same feeling?
Yeah, I mean, they've done a great job with their desk show over time, right? Like adding a desk show was pretty experimental to think about the guys who do trick shots to go into a desk show. But they are naturally comedic and funny. Yeah, you could do some even actual live content. And they do that with in partnership with Amazon with Thursday Night Football. But I like that of going longer and longer form and looking at time spent as a metric. Like how much time can people spend with Dude Perfect?
I think the reason for that is so that you build out places where you can develop new talent. I don't think it's actually easy to build new talent.
It's true.
And new faces of Dude Perfect if your videos are only 7 minutes or 15 minutes or even 20 minutes. I think you need outlets for people to get really comfortable with these new people. And, you know, if you look at Dude Perfect Gaming, Sparky is one of the new faces for Dude Perfect. And his face is actually the biggest on the channel banner. Right. And gaming, the videos on the channel are pretty short right now, but I think if they started to make those longer and even maybe go live, that's an opportunity to really get connected to a new face. And that's going to be the next chapter of Dude Perfect, is priming the audience and getting people ready for the new faces that may be there once these guys pull back a little bit.
I would say Mythical is probably the best at this when you look at Rhett and Link and then you look at Mythical Chef Josh, right? Like he's a real, like significant creator now and host that when he came out at their live show that we went to, people went nuts, right? Like he has a deep diehard fan base now. And that transition has been really executed well. And I think it is because of really long content that Josh can integrate into Good Mythical Morning. But yeah, that's not an easy thing to do.
to get audiences connected to new talent. It's also a risky move when you're Dude Perfect and you're so deeply based and rooted in trust from families.
Yeah.
Adding more talent is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, like the one thing that I just don't know that people are talking about in our industry as such a big deal is the Dude Perfect app. The TV app that they've launched, first of all, it looks incredible. It's like so premium, but it solves a major problem that's going to continue to happen over the next couple of years on YouTube, which is that parents can't trust their kids navigating YouTube. And you look at the deals they've struck with Ryan Trahan, Mark Rober, Zach King. Like, to me, this is representative of the future of the creator economy, which is similar to the past of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Dude Perfect goes from being a channel and a show to a network,
mm-hmm.
right? They are curators of family friendly. Like, this is essentially a modern version of Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about it a little bit in the episode, but the creators in the Dude Perfect app also have a lot of flexibility in terms of the ads that they can run. So if they have if you're Ryan Trahan and you're Joyride, mm-hmm. you can probably have some flexibility to run Joyride ads.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas it's not really the case. It's not as easy on YouTube.
Yeah. So that to me is a pretty big deal. And again, another place they could launch new talent. Because they have 2 million people who've downloaded that app. You look at this time next year, could that be 5 million? Could it be somewhere in that range? Now you can introduce a new show into that environment that doesn't have public view counts, which I think is a real consideration when you're building a big media company. You can't have content that doesn't perform on YouTube. But if you have your own environment, you can experiment.
Yeah.
It's okay to let content take a little bit of time to build, characters to build. You just can't take that risk on YouTube. Like, the Dude Perfect brand can't have videos that are doing 10,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be able to slowly build talent in the Dude Perfect app. So I really like this environment, to control that environment for them, I think is a really big priority for the next chapter. For everything they want to do, that is going to be the most captive audience. They're going on tour, you run ads in the Dude Perfect app.
Yeah.
You do a deal. If you have the Dude Perfect app, you get X dollars off the ticket. Like, that to me is an owned and operated platform that can play into all of the things they want to do and scale beyond them significantly. The next 20 years, you could be adding creators to that platform that match the Dude Perfect values.
The most interesting thing to me about the Dude Perfect app is that it encroaches on YouTube's turf.
Yeah.
The fact
YouTube
that,
Kids
like,
turf.
YouTube Kids turf. That like YouTube's business is advertising.
Yeah.
And when it comes to YouTube Kids, it's, you know, their goal is to ensure that it's like a safe space for people to watch. But the fact that the Dude Perfect app exists and that it's taking off proves that there is a problem there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just so interesting to me because I would never think that there are like creators who are big enough to create some sort of rival market for advertising, because advertising requires high, high viewership to strike deals. So it's just interesting.
Curation matters, right? Curation of audience, curation of content, curation of trust. Like, that is something that they can do. They can go from being creators to becoming curators.
It makes me wonder if that's like a trend that will continue, similar to how blogs back in the day, I always told you about this freestyle skiing blog called New Schoolers, right? And you could like make an account similar to like Facebook, and the ads on that blog were so niche. You could tell they were working directly with companies in the industry. Mm-hmm. It would have been great for the Lacrosse Network too, to probably have some sort of app and specific place where it's like, we just work with lacrosse companies, so here are the ads. And I wonder if that will start happening in other niches and industries across YouTube, because obviously Dude Perfect is this like massive behemoth, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's surprising, but also not, that they can create their own app and get millions of people and create big brand activations, right? Like, bring other brands in. But I just wonder, will this be something that we see in other spaces too? Do you think?
I think so. I think there's going to be too much content for it not to happen. Like, I think the oversaturation of content over the next 3 and 5 years is going to push to create curated environments.
Like, is there like a creator economy app?
Probably. And it might even just be like a skinned app that is just curating essentially playlisting content. Or you look at like how YouTube's TV app is moving. Like, it just could be curation. increased curation. I will say there was two aha moments for me in this interview. The first one was actually more of a shock moment when Cody was describing that in the middle of an overtime shoot, one of their employees came up to him with a breakdown of how he wanted to raise. It's both surprising and not surprising, but I think it's important for our industry to recognize that this is how these companies work. Mm-hmm. Like, we are sitting here on camera, but we're also very in the weeds of the operational admin of our day-to-day companies. And there's still an operator problem in the world of the creator economy when you recognize almost, you know, 20 years into Dude Perfect, they have hired their first CEO. Mm-hmm. You know, like the first time there's really a CEO at the helm of this company. You know, that's a really interesting point and really interesting note to go. Creators, the assumption that all creators are like excellent entrepreneurs or excellent operators is just like a misguided assumption. Like, we are creators. I think we are much more similar to bands than we are to tech founders or entrepreneurs. Like, we just make a thing. Mm-hmm. And we're groups of people who make things. We're not necessarily thinking about the organizational infrastructure of everything. So that's like incredibly apparent at every scale of creators.
Yeah, it's incredible how many times throughout the episode they would just say, oh, well, Andrew will deal with that.
Andrew will deal with that. They say that, but they are so invested in every detail of that brand. Even from the day we spent with them, it was hard to pull them away from their things to get them to sit down together. Mm-hmm. And the things that they're doing are like tweaking a graphic design for their tour, you know, or like,
yeah,
looking at,
I mean, we are at very different scales, but like, even just getting you and I to get to this table, I'm working on like an After Effects animation.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And you're working on all sorts of stuff. Like, we need to pry ourselves away to come down and do this.
And the second kind of aha moment was when they talked about the multi-generational fan base.
Yeah.
That now there's parents who have kids and they have their kids watch Dude Perfect and the parents watch Dude Perfect.
I've never really heard of that on YouTube before, but we're obviously moving into that space.
We're approaching territory where you can have multi-generational fan bases, that's a multiplier. That's a significant multiplier, right? Because if you go, here's a guy who used to watch Dude Perfect and now he has a kid and maybe he has two kids. When they go on tour, you're selling tickets to mom, dad, and two kids. You're going from one fan to four.
Yeah.
That as a multiplier is no joke.
Yeah. I mean, it's what ends up creating massive global brands, global icons. Like, we've seen this in music, right? Where, you know, my dad's a massive Bruce Springsteen fan. My brothers and I now all love Bruce Springsteen and we'll all go to the concerts together. We'll buy the merch. That is a multiplier. Mm-hmm. And when you've been in the industry for decades, which now we're moving into the space where creators will have been around for decades, you get people who truly shape culture and are not just really seen as like creators, definitely not seen as like influencers, but icons and just like global entertainers.
Yeah. And being a family-friendly, trusted brand is the multiplier there, because you just grow older and you're like, I don't know how to be a parent and have my kids watch YouTube, but you know, I spent years watching Dude Perfect. I trust those guys. Mm-hmm. I can have my kid watch Dude Perfect. That is such an X factor for these guys to build this brand.
I would imagine the new channels are also in an effort to reach the slightly older Dude Perfect audiences, right? If they do Dude Perfect Outdoors about camping and hunting, if they do even Dude Perfect Golf, right? Like little kids aren't necessarily golfing, 8 to 15-year-olds. Mm. So I'm really curious to see how some of those new channels allow them to span the age of their audience.
My final takeaway from this is people always ask us like, hey, you've sat down with some of the top creators on YouTube. What's the common thread? The absolute common thread, and these guys embody it, is that they really like making videos together. It's an answer that people maybe don't want to hear, but it is the truth that whether it's Marques Brownlee, it's these guys, it's like any of the top creators on YouTube really like making videos.
I actually think a step below videos is just they like playing sports together.
That's true.
And they're really competitive, because
from all the time that we've spent with them, if there's ever a dull moment, a second, there is a basketball in their hand. There's a football in their hand. Totally. And they're doing something competitive and they just actually love it.
Yeah.
And it's similar like Marquez being like, you know, if you want to be, he likens like being a creator to being in like the NBA, right? Yeah. And he's like, you have to love shooting free throws and shooting. Like not everyone who shoots hoops thinks they're going to go to the NBA, but they might shoot hoops for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Right. And they are those guys.
There was moments where it was like, oh, we just need to tweak the audio real quick. And they'd be like, oh, okay, cool. And they'd hop to the basketball court and start playing basketball. And you're like, wow, that any second that they aren't shooting, they're competing with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Dude Perfect's going to be around for a very long time. And I think we're all going to be pretty amazed at this next chapter of Dude Perfect. I have a question for everybody in the audience right now, everyone who's still with us. If you were the CEO of Dude Perfect, what would be your first move? Put that in the comments.
I would build the Dude Perfect world exactly like the rendering. And be like, see, I told you it was going to look like this.
All right, let us know what you would do if you were the CEO of Dude Perfect, and we'll see you next week.